Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. Patriots Monday.
Woo!
Big game out of Drake May.
Victory Monday.
A victory Monday.
Again.
The Patriots don't let down.
As many wins this year as they did last year and the year before that.
Oh, it's a good point. We're already at...
I would say more than last year. That last one doesn't count.
Last Fair. Year was really three, but technically four.
Technically four.
Four, four, four.
Or four, 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 four.
Fours are wild. Fours are wild.
Fours are wild.
They have a chance, though, to surpass their win total next week. I hadn't even thought about that.
I think
good
that
point.
They will. I have a feeling that they will. I don't want to give away the whole week, but I feel like they're going to win again.
I think they're... Let's lock it in. I think they're going to
You're
going
to lock it
week.
In?
Yeah, let's lock it
gonna
in.
Be your survivor pick?
I know it's Monday at noon. Let's lock it in.
Bold Ooh. Enough to go that flavor?
I don't think I'm that bold.
No. On the road?
Yeah.
Although they are road warriors, like
they
the Legion of Doom.
Are indeed road warriors.
Win everywhere.
But they didn't let down against New Orleans. Now, I wouldn't say there were a lot of style points in this win, although Drake May had some highlights.
He did.
But New Orleans hung around, and the Patriots couldn't really put them away, and they couldn't run the football, and the offense is more inconsistent in the second half. But then you also look at it and go, well, Drake had huge plays taken away by the refs, which we'll get to. And I feel pretty good about that victory where, and maybe not everyone does. It sounds like some of the players in the locker room didn't after the game. Mm-hmm. And Vrabel addressed some of them in this post-game breakdown and was like, guys, don't ever feel bad about getting a win in this league. And it tells you that maybe expectations are getting raised. Like, this is the kind of win in the Brady era. I can't believe we're comparing it.
Oh, boy.
But this is the kind of win in a Brady era we'd come in and rip them. We'd be like, it was awful.
What
you
was
let
that?
The Saints hang around. You barely won. You were lucky to win.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how we would treat this in the Brady era. In the infancy of the Drake May era, I feel pretty good about a win like that because I thought a full-on, full-blown letdown was in the cards, and they didn't. They got the win.
Well, I think one of the reasons for optimism at the beginning of the year before they even played a game was how bad the opponents were. And a lot of the opponents, though, you could make the case for saying the same thing about the Patriots. Like, the Saints and the Titans and the Browns might be circling the Patriots. But like, well, that was a 4-win team from a year ago. How much better can they really be? And I think at least through 6 games, and obviously you'd love to have the Raiders game back, and you can't turn it over 5 times against the Steelers, but through 6 games, you now feel like, you have the clear advantage over these scrubby teams. It's not a 50-50 coin toss. And I know they won by 6, but it's also the nature of the NFL. Look at the spreads every week. There's just so much parity all the time. Going on the road after a big emotional high of the Bills game, you know, Titans game, Titans week coming up, all that. Like, any win, I thought it was good to hear Vrabel sort of voice that to his players, be like, even if after beating the Bills, your expectation level raises, great, it should. But it doesn't mean you're just going to beat yourself up over
Go
any
apologize
kind of
for
win.
A win. Yeah,
no,
and,
God, no.
And I think you make a good point about the last couple of years. Bills last year, Curran was famous for this line, the wins are everywhere. Well, there were a lot of winnable games on the schedule. They were too bad to take advantage of it.
Yeah, no, this team can.
Last year, there were a lot of winnable games on the schedule. And they would get rolled up by, like, Jacksonville and teams. Like, they lost awful, awful, awful games to awful teams. And the Patriots did some of that early. I mean, the Raiders' loss was a bad loss, and Pittsburgh, they should have won that game. Pittsburgh has proven to be, I mean, as of right now, a good team in the AFC. I don't believe in them.
No, but better
but
than
hard,
I thought.
It's hard to feel too bad about that one, at least in terms of what Pittsburgh is as a team. Now you feel like, oh, they're going to go in and take care of business against bad teams, and they should do that this upcoming week against Tennessee. They did it yesterday. Let's get some phone calls, and then I do want to get to the refs because they were, unfortunately,
rough.
A big storyline, and I feel a lot better about talking about the refs after a win, when they overcame some bad calls, instead of crying about the refs and blaming them for a loss. Mm-hmm. I do feel better about that, so we'll scratch that itch coming up. But George in Texas waiting very patiently. Go ahead, George.
Hey, guys. Appreciate taking the call. Offensive line, why aren't we talking about that coaching, right? We've been talking about Josh. We've been talking about the backup OC. We've got Doug Maroney. We've got Jason Hoff-Talen. And we had Mike Vrabel at his presser say, if needed, he would be a third, his intro presser, he could be a third O-line coach. It's my understanding that it's harder to pass protect and run block. Why haven't we been able to resolve the run blocking? I don't think it's a RB talent issue.
So,
I think it's an O-line issue.
I think the reason is, and I guess we could lump in Doug Marone when we're talking about Josh McDaniels. I think the reason that we haven't been too hung up on the O-line is because they're doing a good job in the passing game.
I think that, yeah, they are.
And if I had to pick one or the other, would I rather have them be turnstiles in the passing game but good at run blocking, or the other way around? I'd rather have them do what they're doing. But,
which is odd, because going into the year, I think all five guys you probably would have said are better
run blockers.
Run blocking.
100%.
And they are not.
Bradbury,
there are stats on it. And then the two rookies, people are just sort of like, it's going to be easier when, you know, first year in the NFL rather than going up against some of these edge rushers. How much time did we talk about, oh, it's T.J. Watt, and it's this guy, it's that guy, it's Max Crosby. And, you know, they haven't been perfect, but they've been very good. I think it really is a running back thing. Like, the running backs have let them down. It's easy to watch Ramondre fumble and be like, all right, that's a problem. But even just the yard, like, there hasn't been many times where you're like, oh, what a great play by the running back. Or, like, make that one guy miss, and then you have, you know, 10 yards down the field or 5 yards down the field. They've been very, very underwhelming. Because especially we used to, like, what happened? You watch around the league, all these other running backs, not first-round pick running backs, not second-round pick running backs, having big games. Do they all have awesome offensive lines and awesome everything else? Probably not.
No, in fact, I mean, the Chargers have a million injuries on their offensive line. They lost Damarian Hampton, their first-round pick.
Who was that scrub that just had a bunch of yards?
They lost Najee Harris, and Kamani Vidal is out there running all over the place with a bad offensive line.
Now, you get Tony Dews, the running back coach?
Granted, bad team on the other side, Miami. We've seen that.
No, I know. Yeah.
But, yeah, I feel like other teams are getting more out of that. Here's what I'll give the caller. I think you're not hearing a lot about Doug Marone because the pass blocking has been good. But when we talk about Josh fixing the offense and why they're struggling running the football, let's lump in Doug Marone. We'll pledge to do that. Scott's up in New Hampshire. Hello, Scott.
Gentlemen, Jonesy, how we doing?
Excellent.
I wanted to throw a name out there I haven't really heard for the path to target as a running back.
Okay.
Team is a mess. Coach is about to be fired. They're on the cusp of a full-blown rebuild. What would it take to get Achane?
Okay, I don't think he's getting traded by Miami. But I, the name I thought he was going to say, I'd take him.
He had a nice scamper yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's really good. I don't think Miami's moving.
Two, three scampers.
He's on his rookie deal. Breece Hall, though, is at the end of his rookie deal, and Breece Hall is a name that could move.
Okay.
So, like, Breece Hall, Alvin Kamara, those are the big trade deadline names, I think, at running back.
Bring Tony Pollard with you back home this weekend.
The other one I was just going to say was Tony Pollard.
Yeah, I think Tony Pollard's a good one. Yeah, any interest in Kamara?
No,
me neither. We saw it yesterday.
I'm good. I think he's kind of cooked.
I'm just looking at the
team. Look, adding another back to the room I'm in favor of. So if you're telling me it's Kamara or nothing, I'll take Kamara. But no.
So Derrick Henry, like Andy Hart was saying, on a bad team.
I would bring in Derrick Henry.
I would bring in Derrick Henry.
Tony Pollard, he's a man. He can do it anytime.
Nailed it.
So Tony Pollard. He can do it anytime.
The name that Breer brought up on pregame from the Saints yesterday was not Kamara, it was Olave, and we spent some time talking about that last week.
Yeah, he had a nice game.
He's like he looked much more explosive down the field than I thought he had been utilized to this point. But Breer made the point, and of course he'd go to Ohio State.
Right.
But Breer made the point that Vrabel has good intel at Ohio State from his time there, and the reviews on Olave were really good. So really, it would come down to medicals with him. But if you want to make a trade in the passing game, that might be more realistic than the name we've brought up thousands of times. A.J. Brown.
You could probably get the guy from the Cardinals that dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. He might be available.
Yeah, I think you could bring him in. You got to coach that out of him. They're not real great at coaching fumbling out of players.
Did you hear the update? I don't know if we ever mentioned this on the air. Apparently, the coaching staff showed the Adonai Mitchell play to the team
before the game,
Friday before the game. Like, specifically showed the team that. Which is like so much. It's bad anyway. There's no way to slice it that it's bad.
Yeah.
But then they're like, they made a point to be like, hey, guys, run through the end zone.
So someone with the Cardinals was willing to share that information. That's inside information, Keith.
I know.
That's inside the team.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they would say anything about that.
That's why we have insiders.
It's very strange.
Yeah.
It's an opportunity to talk to somebody inside the locker room.
Well.
And they could shed some insight on what goes on within the team. They don't want to do that.
No state secrets.
Very, very,
who has a good highlight tape.
Very strange. 617-779-7937. Speaking of strange.
Yeah.
What did you think of those refs yesterday?
Brutal. And, bad calls are one thing, and they're
don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
To sum it up, yeah. No, I think bad calls happen all the time. They're very frustrating. You can lose your mind. You can throw your remote and all that stuff. But when it's a bad call and it's super late, is insane. Like it's a double whammy. At least a bad call in real time, you're like, all right, whatever. Hopefully they balance out in the end. But when you have an awesome touchdown play, both teams are like, yeah, that was a touchdown. Let's get our special teams out there. Let's get ready to go. Drake May even said in the postgame, he was like almost on the bench talking about the second would have been.
I was about to sit down.
Yeah.
So, look, it happened later. You saw the Goff touchdown that got taken off the board?
Yes.
That was another one that took forever.
Yeah,
so
that's ridiculous.
It happened a couple of different days yesterday. I know Patriots fans were like, oh, refs helping the Chiefs. But that was another super late one. Prior to it happening again on Sunday Night Football, I don't know that I've ever seen a call that late. I'm not sure I've ever seen one come in that late.
And then when you see the call, you're like, I'm sorry,
Nothing.
On the other side of the field, where a little bit of contact with both sides.
Maybe there was contact.
Okay, from both. So it's like, all right, it's something. And then you wipe that play off the board is ridiculous. And there was a bunch. And then there was even stuff that just it really affected the overall flow of the game. And then even some of the stuff that had to be challenged or wasn't challenged, or like you didn't have it right on the field. You're like, what is this?
Well, so I think if they want to throw the flag on the Diggs push-off, his second OPI, where he caught the 51-yarder or whatever it was up the right sideline on a third and long.
That was a sick catch.
Unbelievable catch.
Yeah.
But I see how he got an advantage off that play. It's ticky-tack and it's bang-bang, but
right.
I wouldn't have had a huge issue with that if it wasn't with everything else that went
yeah,
on in the game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Drake May, they didn't give him the two-point conversion right before halftime on the field. They booth reviewed that, called it in, and they're like, oh, yeah, he did score. So that was another one. You just mentioned the Vrabel. Vrabel had to challenge two plays at the end of the game.
Which were good challenges, but they shouldn't even have been challenged.
No, I don't think so either. The Johnson fumble, I at least think, was close. I could see how they missed that.
Yeah.
Although it was a clear punch out and the ball moved instantaneously. But then did he still have it while he was going to the ground and his knee touch? Whatever.
But Vrabel had another fumble, too.
Vrabel had to challenge that. They missed the other one. That's true.
Uh-huh.
Which Vrabel chose not to challenge. And he answered a question about that on the morning show today and basically was like, look, spot we were at in the game, it was close enough where I didn't want to lose timeouts. They're super valuable. And then he had the other challenge of the play.
Well, no, and they got the ball right back, didn't they?
They did.
That one?
Wasn't it a punt? Punted to them, correct.
Yeah, so that one, I remember in real time being like, you could have, but you didn't need to.
You didn't need to. Yeah. So he looked at that and then challenged the booty play as well. So how many different bang-bang plays went against the Patriots yesterday?
It's bad.
A ton.
Seven!
The most egregious, absolutely, was the late flag on what would have been the second Pop Douglas touchdown, the first Stephon Diggs OPI, because it was so egregiously late.
But I already had time to go through, find the Glitter Guns video from before with the kazoos, post it. I was like finding it. I'm not all that quick with all that stuff. And then I'm like watching, and they're like,
wait a minute, what?
I haven't updated the score here. Yeah. What's going on? Like, oh, it's not a touchdown anymore.
Yeah, there was a flag that I don't think they ever threw.
No.
No Saints players were even asking for it on the field. It was wild, and it was so late. So that, to me, is the most egregious one. But what I like about this is that they didn't curl up into the fetal position.
No.
Cry about the refs and lose the game.
It was like another opponent on the field they were able to overcome.
They won in spite of it. And so here's Drake May about overcoming some of those calls that went against him yesterday.
Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, it was a really late call. We were almost on the sideline. I was about to sit down. I think just coming back and battling and, picking up a couple consistent drives in the first half, and then Booty with a great play, in the back of the end zone, just trying to give him a chance on one on one. One on one is open in this league, and you got to know that. And left some out there coming out of the half in the second half, first drive. So that was a bummer, but just got to keep going.
Okay, what was it? Was
Drake, keep going.
Drake needs some oxygen in the middle of that. What was
I don't know what happened there. Extra saliva. What was that?
Nick said in our ears it was like Gale the Snail.
He's just mashing it.
It's like. Biden.
I'm trying to find a drop of that, and that's the scene that just popped up.
Biden sniffing someone's hair? What was
that?
I
don't know what that was.
Listen,
he just played a great game. Another great game. So he can make whatever noises he wants into the microphone.
But that, to me, I don't know that the last couple of years they would have overcome those calls.
Maybe not. No, you could have just folded right up and complained about it. And then, it's easy to complain about it. You're like, yeah, that was a bad call. That was a late call. It was all of those things. And then if you don't get the drive, we'd look back and be like, hey, maybe they would have scored. Actually, they did score. They took it off the board. But instead, they scored twice. They moved the ball back 10 yards or whatever it was, and they went down and scored again. So that's great. Even with on like a little bit of a you know, the difficulty went up, played against the Saints when the Saints got a bunch of calls in their favor, and you still won the game. So that's that. I look at that all as a positive.
Meanwhile, you mentioned the challenges that Vrabel won late in the game. The Juwan Johnson one was huge, although they didn't cash in with any points, but they got it back, eventually ran out the clock because Vrabel had a second challenge with Kayshawn Booty in bounds. Here's Vrabel talking about those challenges.
I don't think you ever really know nowadays. I really don't. Shutch does a fantastic job, and you know, just trying to figure it out, how they're going to see it. Sometimes they see it the way we do. Sometimes they don't. And they're just trying to be as smart as we possibly can. And we felt like, those were plays that could help us.
Okay, those were huge challenges by Vrabel that you felt a little bit like Belichick circa 03-04, where it's like, he's making an impact on that level of decision-making, and you can give credit to Stretch like we would with Ernie Adams.
Yeah.
You made this point earlier.
Yeah, for sure.
John Stryker. But, yeah, those were massive decisions by Vrabel that helped you seal the victory.
Definitely. And, it's funny. He had a good back and forth this morning on the Greg Hill Show, too, when he was saying how the league will send around these videos of like certain things, like what's a call, what's not a call, and like whatever.
What's a point of emphasis?
Point of emphasis this week, and whether it's, you know, offensive pass interference or fumbles or whatever, like a whole bunch of stuff. And he's like, they'll watch these videos. Him and Stretch will watch these videos, and then the game will happen, and the referees on the field get those plays wrong. He's like, who's watching these videos? Just me and Stretch? He's like, what is the point? Why are you sending?
He's like, we hang on every word.
We love these videos. And they were like, hey, ref, did you also watch these same ones that are supposed to be like instructional videos for them? So, no, he's not been shy all season talking about the bad calls, and it would look way more, pathetic, for lack of a better word, if they were like 1-5 blaming the refs. But they're 4-2. They're playing really well, and the reality is they've had some calls go against him, but they didn't roll up into a little ball and then, have all these excuses for him.
His line this morning was, it becomes comical at some point, which the delay in which it came in is absolutely comical. I feel good talking about the refs after a win as opposed to the other way around, because it would be nauseating with the Patriots blowing a lead against a bad team and having to talk about, oh, the refs lost us a game, the league is fixed, this and that. And at least they were able to overcome that and get a win. And that's Vrabel sealing it. That's Drake May and his growth. That's the growth out of the team. Because, again, I don't think the last couple of years they would have been able to do that.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Barry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Barry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Hogman, not thrilled with the calls yesterday.
How could you be?
He's giving them hell.
It was a mess. Absolute mess out there. But they overcame it.
They did.
Hog was running hot, as he does.
He runs a little hot, not just on the Red Sox.
No, Pats as well.
He'll run hot on those Zebras yesterday.
Yeah.
As was the case.
I heard him talking about even do some Celtics games.
Did he?
Yeah, I think so. People were asking him, are you going to do more stuff? He's like, well, see.
Hell yeah, Hog. Get in there.
Get Hog on the C's call.
So Reese had the pool report. You were reading from this earlier today, Keith. Adrian Hill, the official. Reese asked him two questions. Reese says, what was seen on to call the pass interference on Stephon Diggs that nullified a touchdown catch by DeMario Douglas? Adrian Hill, on that play, we ruled blocking downfield by number 8 early during the play.
Sure.
So if there's a situation where a player blocks downfield, it's not a foul until a pass is thrown.
Right.
So if you kind of put it in the bank. So you kind of put it in the bank, rather.
The bank?
Then the pass was thrown downfield later. That created the offensive pass interference. So he's saying we saw it early.
Yeah.
The play took a while.
Right.
We had it in the bank. Then the throw happens. Now it's offensive pass interference.
Because we had to go back in time and re-remember what happened.
Question. The follow-up, mechanically.
Yeah.
With the later timing on the penalty and subsequent announcement as both teams had their special teams units on the field.
Sure did.
Good job by Reese. How did that unfold, the timing? Hill, the official was processing the play, and then he came to me over the 020, the official-to-official communication system.
Yeah.
Because it was a long-developing play, he had to rewind back to what happened at the beginning of the play and process that. So does he mean, you asked this earlier, rewind in his head?
Yes, does he mean that's what
to,
I think.
We had to actually rewind it? No, they didn't do
it. It wasn't a replay. I think he's talking about in his brain,
so,
in his human brain.
But whatever it is, it's all just very confusing the explanation is more confusing than even what happened on the field.
Yeah, I feel like if you
what
miss
is he talking about?
If you miss it,
my
you miss it.
My human mind.
That's how I read that. He had to go back in time and be like, oh, that would have been a penalty, but it's not a penalty. But as soon as he throws it, it becomes a penalty. But even still, you missed it. At that point,
by so
you
much.
Missed it. And also, it's a bad call. Even if you threw that flag right away, we would have been losing our minds. But you throw it delayed, it's inexcusable. Right. You just got to keep it in your pocket.
That's the right way to say it. It's inexcusable, yeah. And the reason we can't get over it is because it was so late. If you threw it immediately, we'd be like, that's a sucky call. We'd all move on with our lives.
Right.
Text line is pointing out, I mean, the Saints got a horrendous defensive pass interference like a play later against them.
Did.
That none of us are focusing on that felt like a makeup call.
Yeah, I think
so,
it might have been.
Fine, I think that's totally fair. But what made this one especially egregious was how late it was. We played you the clip where Drake May said, oh, yeah, I was ready to go sit down on the sidelines. Yeah. The special teams units are out there. The broadcast crew, although that might just be Spiro and Arch.
Oh, my
God. But they had no idea what was going on, per usual.
Did you see when they showed the Arch highlights
of
the Super Bowl?
Of course I saw.
And he, like, almost cried. He was like, I can't even watch those. You're like, all right, Arch. Like, remember? Do you remember the Superdome when you lost the Super Bowl? And he's just like,
Spiro really twisted the knife on Arch there.
He's like, I'd ruin my life.
But yeah, we're doing okay.
Love coming to work every day. Like, that is
that was Arch.
That's a great thing.
Like, you're doing okay. You landed on your feet, Arch. Don't worry about that Super Bowl.
It's okay.
Fine.
At one point, he's like, that should have been our dynasty. I think that's what he said.
Yeah, well, it wasn't.
It was not. It definitely was
At least
not.
He didn't bring up Spygate. Thank God. Thank God he didn't go the Marshall Faulk route.
Thank God for all of us.
God, we didn't go there.
Yeah. So anyways, Drake May and the Patriots able to overcome that. Should Drake May be in the MVP discussion game?
Absolutely. I mean, we're six games in. A third of the way, a little bit more than a third of the way through the season. They're 4-2. So at first, you know, it's a quarterback award, which we've pointed out. They won't give it to anybody other than a quarterback. It's like even more biased than the Heisman. And the Heisman's also sort of like a quarterback award. But it feels like no matter what you do, Jonathan Taylor, Puka Nacua, you're not going to get it. So you look at the quarterbacks. And some of the top-end quarterbacks are hurt in Joe Burrow's case or Lamar Jackson's case. Now, Lamar's coming back, so he could make a push for it. And then Mahomes and Allen aren't exactly lighting the world on fire. They're still in the mix because it's Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. But there's like a next wave of guys down where like Baker Mayfield is killing it. I think he's probably the favorite. Sam Darnold and Jared Goff, two quarterbacks who I don't like, are putting up good numbers and they're winning games still. So I can't ignore that. So I think they're in the mix. And then Drake May, you and I went back and forth on – actually, you know, I think we might have agreed. The Pittsburgh game wasn't a great game for him because he turned it over a couple times. However, he had a quarterback rating over 100 in that game. So if you look at it...
Yeah, I don't get how you have two awful turnovers in your quarter. One was a fumble.
So maybe I wonder if I think so.
Yeah.
This is like passer
if it was,
rating.
If it was two picks, it would have been a lower rating. Maybe?
Yes. Yeah, I believe that's right. But he has played in six games. In the opener, he did not have a QB rating of 100. Every other game, he has. The Carolina game, it was nearly a perfect rating. The Miami game was a super high one, and then as was yesterday's. So the guy has 10 touchdown passes to two interceptions. He has two rushing touchdowns. He's completing 73% of his passes. Like, he has a signature win Sunday Night Football against Josh Allen and the Bills, the reigning MVP. So, yeah, this has come pretty quick, but he definitely is. I mean, if Jaden Daniels was a candidate last year, he was a candidate. I mean, it was pretty much Lamar Allen, like, as the top guys. But... is 11 players got votes last year? Because I think they changed how they did it. It used to be like you get to vote for one guy.
Right. Now do they vote for like top three or something?
I think
like
it's
that.
Something like that. So I'm looking at the list. There's 11 total players got votes last year. Nine of them were quarterbacks. So if you even want to just play like, is he having a top eight quarterback season? Hell yeah, he is. At least right now. So, and that would probably get him in the conversation.
So I have the odds in front of me for both DraftKings and FanDuel. Allen is the favorite on both. Drake May is ninth on DraftKings. He is sixth on FanDuel.
Yeah, I think that's probably more
MVP odd.
Because I think when you factor in some of the defenses that he's playing going forward, like his schedule is pretty soft. And I mean, he had I'm not expecting three touchdowns every single game and no picks, but he's cut way down on his turnovers outside of that Pittsburgh game, and he's been super consistent. And the team, I feel like, is going to win a bunch of games. And that's the other thing. Take a look at the quarterbacks on 10-11 win teams, and if they play the whole season, they probably get MVP votes. Like, that's just the way the league views it.
So he's in the mix. As you said, you're a quarterback on a team that's going to win a bunch of games. We told you earlier, The Athletic, their playoff model gives the Patriots an 81% chance of making the playoffs. They have them projected for 10.6 wins. I don't know how they came up with that, but 10.6 wins. So call that 10-11 wins.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
The Athletic gives them a 3.5% chance to win the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah.
So
that's more than a chance.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
If it said 3.5% chance to make the Super Bowl, I would have been stoked about that.
You don't have
3.5 to win it?
Is there a team? Who has the highest percent chance
I don't know.
To win it? Okay, I'm just curious like how high they would be willing to go.
This is a Chad Graff tweet where he just broke out some of the Pats numbers,
okay.
So I don't see the full thing. But they're 3.5 to win the Super Bowl. So I'm not projecting them to win the Super Bowl. No one is. But the fact that they're going to win that many games and make the playoffs and maybe be in the mix to go on a run tells you he's squarely going to be in that MVP mix. Who do you think it should be?
Baker Mayfield.
Me too.
Yeah.
He's third on both the sites I just listed there, like between plus 450-ish, 425 and 475. Mm-hmm. That feels like a buying opportunity.
That definitely does.
Although maybe we missed our window to buy because I bet it was a lot longer odds a couple of weeks ago.
Because I know he has some there's some injuries to some of the receivers.
All
of the receivers are hurt.
Well, this is, again, fantasy football talking, because Nick is scarred by that.
Emeka going down doesn't help, but Chris Godwin, his leg's acting up again. He's out for a while.
Yep. Evans has been out.
He's still somehow doing it. They have the best record in the NFC. He's throwing for a bunch of touchdowns. He's not throwing picks right now. So I think Vegas has to cover themselves, though, because like if Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes have a big 12 games, you're not going to be like shocked by it.
No.
Plus, everybody looks at them, and you're like, okay, of course. Like,
I think Mahomes is... If they really start packing up wins,
he's got a good chance.
Mahomes is doing, we talk about too much on Drake May's plate. I mean, Mahomes, they can't run. Mahomes is their leading rusher on the year.
Yeah.
He's playing good football. I think his last couple of games, like 11 touchdowns against a pick, something like that. And they're about to get their best receiver back. One of what I think the better receivers in football in Rashee Rice. So.
Oh, we're that good, huh?
He's good.
He was one of the better in football. How high?
Top 10-ish?
Top 10-ish?
Yeah. We argued,
my God.
We argued about this.
We did. Yeah,
we did AFC receivers.
Yeah, we did.
He started last year on fire.
But that was AFC. Like, if you're talking all receivers. But regardless, he's better than everybody they have.
He's the best one and he's a good receiver. So, you know, I think Mahomes is one who could skyrocket.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're never going to be surprised if it's Allen or even Lamar. Lamar might be too far behind the eight ball with the losses.
And, yeah, the losses, he's missed two games. The team has buried themselves, but that would be the story. If he turns them around and they win 9 in a row,
good point.
Then it's like, all right, he shoots to the top again.
Good point. But what I think is working for Drake May, number one, the signature win, you said this, Josh Allen on Sunday Night Football, where he is leading the drive and giving you highlight reel plays, specifically the one where he's stiff-arming defenders to the ground and still getting a first down to Steph Diggs. What we started to see against New Orleans were some of those explosive highlight reel type of plays.
Yeah.
Where, all right, not every game you're going to execute in the 2 minute. And not every game are you on national television against another opponent, a high-level opponent. And by the way, if Buffalo loses tonight, you're in first place in the division if they lose to Atlanta. So
go Michael Penis.
Not every week is going to be that.
Yeah.
But every week you can have some big, explosive, down-the-field plays, which had been lacking. He got those going big time against New Orleans. Pretty much every time he dropped to huck one deep, it was like a cheat code yesterday.
To the point where you're like, hey, McDaniels, throw it.
Stop messing around with running on first down.
And little screens. Like, throw it deep.
Air that thing out.
Guys were open, and they were making plays every time.
Air that sucker out.
It was either a bad call against you, or it was a touchdown. Like, throw it deep more. But I think, to me, what stood out is the consistency. Because, you can go back and forth on the Pittsburgh game, but really outside of the opener, which was a letdown across the board for everybody, offense, defense, the whole nine. You're like, ugh, rough start to the season. But then since then, you've gotten really good quarterback play, and he's probably out-dueled the other guys on the other side. That includes Josh Allen, right? It's one thing to be like, oh, he's better than Spencer Rattler. Okay, yeah, I hope so. He's better than Josh Allen. So that's good. Even he's better than Tua. Tua was the guy starting the season. They were probably more on the same tier.
Oh, I'm sure when we did our tiers, we had them on the same tier. Yeah,
similar. And so, all right, you pass by guys like that. And then the rest of the way, I mean, it's funny that he will face Baker Mayfield. He will face, I think, Lamar Jackson, depending on injury.
Yeah.
And he'll face Josh Allen again. So he has a lot of easy kind of cakewalk games in there where hopefully you can kind of just get the win, pad some stats too, if you want to even do that. And then those head-to-head games will be pretty significant too.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Greg Bedard on CLNS reacting after the game last night. Hey, he's heading for a top five MVP type of season. I was looking ahead to their schedule because
cake.
There are a lot of wins on there, Keith.
Uh-huh.
Tennessee, Cleveland, Atlanta, and then Tampa. I mean, getting ahead of ourselves, but May and Mayfield in that Tampa game, Sunday, November 9th, think of what the billing on that could be.
That'd be awesome.
It could be like... the winner of that game is viewed the next day as the MVP of the league.
What they should do is the Patriots have primetime games remaining with the Jets and Giants. They need to get rid of both of those and give them the Bucs game in primetime.
The whole halftime show last night was about Drake May and Baker Mayfield. I don't know if you guys watched
that. I was unaware of that.
The whole thing was about Drake May and Baker
Mayfield. That game is at 1:00. That's going to get moved. When can they start moving games? That's a week 10 game.
I think it's like soon-ish.
All right, so they'll move
that
one.
Did the Patriots game just get flexed yesterday? It was a 425, then it was a 1.
Yeah, but how many weeks out did we know that? It was at least a couple of weeks.
2 or 3.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I would think Patriots-Bucks is going to get changed. Because the Bucks are 5-1, and who knows what their record will be in, 3 weeks. And then the Patriots have a good chance to be 7-2. And then if it's Mayfield as two of the top MVP candidate?
I didn't realize that. So, Nick, you're saying that's a lot of what they were doing at halftime last night.
They broke down, and they built it. It's like, hey, coming up, we're going to talk about Drake May and Baker Mayfield.
No kidding. Okay, so I'm behind on that. I thought I had, an original take there. No, so I'm behind on that.
That's pretty good.
Interesting. But that is, one of the challenging games on there, and then it's the first of two with the Jets.
It's the only tough game before the bye week, which is week 14.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So when you really talk about how far they can go and what kind of run they can get on, not tripping up against these trash teams is going to be important because that's most of the schedule. And I do think what I feel best about yesterday, even though New Orleans hung around and there weren't a ton of style points in there, they gotta take care of those teams. It doesn't mean you win every single one. I don't expect them to literally win every single one. But you can't stub your toe against too many of these teams, and hopefully yesterday is a sign they won't.
Well, I think just the high highs of beating the Buffalo Bills would lead to maybe a little bit of we are pretty good. And then you kind of lose a game on the road to a team that you should be better than, but it's the NFL and things happen. And they didn't. And then you factor in some of those bad calls that went against them, and you're like, all right, all that. And, Tennessee looming, everything else, maybe you lose that game. But they don't. And so, the second half wasn't exactly pretty. They only scored a field goal, but That does say a lot about the team. It does, because easily could have lost that game. Like, it's the NFL. Get them next week. And even then, you're 3-3, not the end of the world. Oh, no, you need to win that game. And they did.
I had some concerns this week. I mean, we both picked them. We didn't think it would be as high scoring of a game as it was.
I did think, 3.5 being the spread, I was like, I didn't know if they were going to go in there and blow them out, which they didn't, but it was pretty comfortable. I don't think you ever, if you did bet them on the spread, I don't think you were really sweating it out necessarily. You think you were?
I don't know. That drive before Johnson fumbled at the end.
They had the ball to get
the lead.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But there's a reason, I wasn't excited to pick it.
No.
So.
No, me either. But I guess my roundabout point is we still picked them to win last week.
Yes,
it's not
100%.
Like we were predicting they were going to trip up.
Right.
But I was much more nervous about them tripping up in that game.
Yeah.
Looking ahead to Vrabel's Super Bowl than actually tripping up against the Titans. Well, it's funny. Are we wrong to kind of overlook that one?
No. I mean, so the fact that they've never won three straight games that were all played on the road, right?
Yeah, we got to be careful with the wording.
It's hard wording, yeah, but it's not three road games in a row, but it's if there happen to be the three games in a row that are on the road. That might be the way to do it.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Three games? So anyway, but they've never done that in the team history. So you're thinking, well, you beat the toughest opponent right off the rip. I don't think they're going to lose the Vrabel Super Bowl in 2 weeks. So you're like, if they were to maybe lose one of these, it'd be the Saints.
The one, yeah.
But on a one-off, I'm like, they're not going to lose to New Orleans. So I think they're going to be the first team in team history to do that.
And I feel like last week they were on high alert for it. They were ready for it.
Yeah.
Steph Diggs was leading the charge on that. Even Drake May after the game was like, well, yeah, look, we had to come in here and treat them like, you know, they're, what'd you call them earlier, a pesky team?
They were, I wouldn't put them up
they're
as
not
high as frisky.
Frisky.
They're pesky.
Scrappy?
Little scrappy. Okay. A little scrappy dude to them.
Yeah.
Because they hang around. They play a lot of one possession games. They've only gotten blown out once, but they're 1-5. And I wouldn't feel great about them winning three total games. Like, but they're not very good.
We can't take them lightly.
No.
And it's been a bit since we played it for you, but Vrabel's post-game breakdown, too, he's like, hey, guys, like, don't apologize.
Celebrate the win.
Don't apologize for a win. Like, never apologize for a win in the NFL.
I agree.
But that does tell you their expectations are raised up a little bit. 617-779-7937. Brandon is in Boston. Hello, Brandon.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking my phone call.
Sure.
So I heard you guys talking about running backs, and I have a name for you guys, and he's on a one-year contract with the Texans. How about Nick Chubb? You know, we're talking about a guy that's a power runner. He's averaging more yards than Ramondre Stevenson, just by a smidget, but 4.5 yards compared to Ramondre's 3. And out of his whole career, because he was drafted in 2018, only had 8 fumbles.
Okay, so he doesn't fumble. That's good to know. How do you feel about Nick Chubb?
I would take him. I mean, I think he's washed overall, but I think right now they need something. I don't think it's going to be Terrell Jennings off the practice squad.
No.
Henderson has been very underwhelming, maybe the most underwhelming player on the team, just because I went in with pretty high expectations of him. I didn't have over-the-top high expectations of some of the other guys, so he's been frustrating. Gibson's out for the year, and Stevenson I don't trust to hold on to the ball, so... Yeah, I'll take the corpse of Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I mean, they need something. I agree with you in that room.
And he's 30 years old, but it just seems like a hard 30 because there was, you know, 4 years where he got the ball a lot.
And what, they were on a bye this week? I was going to say, he didn't do
Texans
anything this week,
did
but they
not
were on
play.
A bye.
Yeah, Texans and Vikings were on a bye.
So, I mean, they need something in the room. I would hope you could do better than that, but if you can't, then I'd bring in somebody like Nick Chubb. It's a similar answer to how I answered Kamara earlier.
Yeah.
I think Kamara is still more explosive at this point than Chubb
but
is.
Do you think the Texans would I know they're gonna get Mixon back and that's the whole thing, but
are they? Yeah, maybe.
Oh, good point. Maybe they're not. I don't know. They're 2-3. They lost their first three games, but then they won back-to-back weeks.
The point
is, if they're dead.
The point is, we brought up enough names at running back, whether it's a high-end one like Breece Hall or
Tony Pollard.
Yeah, whether it's lower end like someone like Nick Chubb, who I'm sure would be available for a nothing draft pick. They need to upgrade that room. And they need to fix their rushing attack because I do think there's a lot on Drake May's shoulders. It looks like he's capable of it, especially against teams like New Orleans and some of these other overwhelmed, overmatched teams, even if they are pesky and scrappy.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.